But these are just roots that happen. And as my dad used to say, it happens so fast it'll make your head swim. And these things can come into your life so quick. And all of a sudden you're dealing with this root. Your character is assassin. You're unjustly fired from your job. You're falsely accused of doing something you didn't do. You're cheated out of an inheritance. You got a C grade instead of a B or A. You were called an ugly name. Someone made a racial slur against you. You were made fun of by someone else. Someone lied about you, putting you in a bad light. You were a victim of age discrimination. You were robbed. You were raped. You were turned down because of bad credit. You were overcharged by a doctor or a mechanic. You were cheated on by your spouse. Someone deliberately injured or murdered a loved one. Your spouse divorced you against your wishes. Your fiance broke off your engagement. All roots, 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 roots.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Building a Box of Bitterness. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Building a Box of Bitterness.
Near and dear and precious to you. And now it's caused a bitterness in your soul. It can come about as an earthly loss. It can come out as unfair treatment. You might feel like you were treated unfairly for some reason or other. The older brother, he felt that he was treated unfair. Look, I've been with you. I haven't disobeyed your commandments. I've done everything that you've asked me to do. What is he saying? You're not being fair. This is not fair. How can he get the inheritance and blow it and come back home and you kill a calf that you put a robe on him and throw a party for him? It's not fair. And so bitterness comes as a result of something that happened to you that might be unfair. And then another biblical root of bitterness is if you have a rebellious or sinful attitude. That if your heart is not right with God, then you are prone. You know, I'm not going to read this one, but you write this one down. James 3:14. That if your heart is not right with God, James 3:14 says that you are a prime candidate for Satan to jump on and cause to be bitter. That if you're not spending time with God, if your heart has wandered away from God, if you're not living life in the presence of God, then you are a prime candidate for Satan to come and attack your life and cause you to be bitter. So what are the biblical roots of bitterness? An earthly loss, an injustice, or a heart that's rebellious or sinful? Let me move to my second point. And my second point is the shoot of bitterness. How does bitterness affect us? And I have 3 points here. We see there's a sulking bitterness, there's a settled bitterness, and there's a seething bitterness. So if you are here today and you are a bitter person, then I want you to identify which one are you. And I'm going to explain them. I'm going to explain all three to you. And you identify which one you are today. Sulking bitterness means that something happened to discourage you, like the prodigal son's brother. Yo, he had a sulking bitterness. I mean, he was moping, and there was good things going on that he should have been sharing and he should have been excited about. I don't know about you, but I have people that pray that their loved ones get saved. And that when their loved one gets saved, man, there's excitement that goes on. But here we have this individual, he's upset, he's discouraged, he's forlorn, he's downtrodden, and he's just sulking. He can't even share in the joy. And you know what? Sometimes when we have bitterness against another person, when something good happens to them, we can't rejoice with them. Why? Because we are sulking. We have this sulking bitterness where we want to take our ball go home. And we just want to sulk. You know, don't come tell me anything. Don't tell me how to get right. You know, if they would have never did what they did to me in the first place, then, you know, we wouldn't even be dealing with this. So don't talk to me. You know, don't tell me anything about what the scripture says. You know, I'm sulking, and I'm going to stay here. And no matter what you're going to say, no matter what you got to tell me, you're not going to move me out of this position that I'm in, because I have every right to sulk. You don't know what they've done to me. And so you sit in the corner all by yourself, and you sulk because somebody did you wrong. And this was a prodigal son. This cat, he was sulking so much that the scripture says he didn't even come to the party. Somebody needed to slap him. Come on, man. Won't you be real? But you know what? Let's be honest. We see it all the time. I see sulking Christians all the time. I see sulking Christians that take their little 50-cent ball and go sit in a corner somewhere. Come on, man. You got to put on your big boy pants, man. Oh, man. I be looking. And I be saying, what? Over that? Come on, man. Monday Night Football is getting ready to come back on, right? Come on, man. Come on, man. This is ridiculous. But yet still, we see it. We see Christians who sulk. And then there are those who have a settled bitterness. And what is a settled bitterness? This is long-term bitterness. This is, you know, we have heard the expression, I'm not trying to be offensive, but, you know, we've heard the expression, that's just a bitter old person. Well, you know, they got two things going on, right? Number one, they got bitter when they was young. And number two, they didn't do anything about it, and now they just became a bitter old person. But chances are likely that they were a bitter young person or a bitter middle-aged person. And now they, because they haven't dealt with it, they've become a bitter old person now. And this is one of these situations where we say, woe is me. Just call me Naomi. I mean, just call me Mara. My name is Naomi, but just call me Mara. For the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Woe is me. And this bitterness has just settled. And, you know, you see it sometimes. I see it sometimes when I go visit people in nursing homes. You know, thank God. We got the people from Bethany that are in a nursing home, right? They got joy in their spirit. You go in there, they got fire in their soul. So I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about them folks elsewhere. That you go in there and it's just a bitterness, a settled bitterness. That they are angry with somebody that did something to them, or maybe they're in there against their wishes, and they're just angry. And that bitterness has just settled in, and they've resigned themselves to the fact that they're just going to be bitter, and that there's nothing that can be done about it, and that this is just their plot for life. Woe is me. And then we see that there's Haman, and Haman, he hated the Jews. He hated the Jews. The Jews were in captivity in the land of Persia. And he not only hated the Jews, but there was one Jew in particular that he hated, and his name was Mordecai. And he couldn't stand him. And the Bible says that he hated him so much that here Haman hated Mordecai so much that he built some gallows to hang him on. See, this is to the point where, watch this now, you are so bitter. See, you're not sulking. See, the first two are all right. See, I get a little concerned about the seething bitterness, because you know what that means? That means you want to hurt somebody. That means you want to punch somebody out. That means that you want to grab somebody in the collar and give them a, boom, a headbutt. That means that you want to do a river dance on somebody's face. Right? Man, that's you are angry. You are upset. And you got to watch out with this kind of bitterness, because like Haman, what happened to Haman? He was hung on his own gallows. And when we get this this type of bitterness in us. We have to watch because, you know, this is when it comes back to us. There was a lady who went to a doctor to have a facelift. And the doctor gave her this facelift. And, man, she looked beautiful as a result of the facelift. And after he did the facelift, he went and he told the lady, he said, you know, you really need to get involved in a church. And she said, why is that? He said, because I put all this work into your face. And you spent all this money to have it done. And unless you get somewhere and your heart is changed, you're going to be back here 5 years from now looking worse than you did when you came in. Unless you go somewhere and you work on the heart, unless you go somewhere and you begin to deal with the issue, it's going to come back on you. And the anger and the frustration, you know, it's just like a boomerang, right? You here you are, you say, there goes a person that I hate. I hate that person right there. And you take that boomerang and you try to hit them. Shroom! And you miss. And it's coming right back at you. The very thing that you set out to destroy somebody else with comes back at you and destroys you. Where are you at today? The shoot of bitterness. Sulking bitterness, settled bitterness, and seething bitterness. And finally, let's look at the fruit of bitterness. What is the fruit of bitterness? And again, we go back to Hebrews chapter 12 to look at the fruit of bitterness. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And what is the fruit? What is the fruit? And by it, what? Many are what? Defiled. That's the fruit. That's the fruit. And when you get to this point, there's two things as far as the fruit is concerned. And the first analogy I'll use is that of a skunk. And what does a skunk do? A skunk will spray you. A skunk will shoot out its nasty smell. And if we go back to the elder brother, the prodigal son's brother, he became a skunk. He became a skunk. He began to spray out on everybody around him. First of all, he sprayed out on the guy that told him what was going on. He came near and heard music, heard partying, and said, what's going on? And one of the servants told him, that's your brother who was lost. It's now coming on. Your father threw a party. And if you go back and read, what does the very next verse say? And he was angry. So he sprayed on that guy right there. The guy, he didn't waste any time. I don't know what he said, but he got angry. And the man knew that he was angry. And so he sprayed on him. He sprayed on other folk. Now, check this out. The dad didn't know that he was upset, right? Dad was down there having a good time. But what happened? Somehow, word got back to the dad that this cat is up there sulking, man. He's upset. Well, who took that word to him? Maybe it was a servant. Maybe it was other people that were there. That they ran, they told the dad. So he sprayed on the guy that told him. He sprayed on the people that went and told the dad. And then finally, when the dad showed up, he sprayed on him. This son who you say is your child. He took your inheritance. And he spent it on prostitutes. He spent it on getting drunk. You never did that for me. You let him come back home. So was it? He's spraying on his dad. This guy is a no respecter sprayer. And so that's what happens when we have this bitterness, that it becomes this fruit. And what is the fruit? One of the fruit, we begin to spray on other people. And not only that, but the second thing that we see is that the fruit of this is now we begin to lash out at other people. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, some people, when they read this verse, they read a natural progression in here. And they say that when it starts out as bitterness, you know, it's within you. And then it becomes wrath, right? It was bitter, and now you don't start to get warm now, right? Started out as bitterness, but now you're starting to get a little heated, right? Your body temperature is rising. And then you get angry. And you know, the good thing about that, if there can be any good thing, is that it's all self-contained. If there can be any good thing, it's all self-contained. Bitterness, wrath. But unless you, as the writer of Hebrews says, look for that root and kill it, then look what starts to happen now. We see evil speaking. Now, it's no longer self-contained, but now you're bad-mouthing. Now you're talking down. Now you are lashing out. And the last thing, malice. And what does malice mean? Malice means that you want to hurt somebody. It means that you want to physically hurt somebody. And so what is the fruit of bitterness? The fruit of bitterness is, first of all, if you can self-contain it, it's better than the last two, because the fruit is now you begin to take it outside and you begin to evil speak, and now you want to do somebody some harm. And I believe that Jesus looks down from heaven, and when he sees people that are living their lives in bitterness, and I know that he died on the cross for our sins, and I know that he died that we might have eternal life, but one of the things that we need to realize, too, that in John 10, Jesus said, I've come that you might have abundant life. And when he sees somebody locked up in a box of bitterness, and he sees that he died on the cross so that not only you could have eternal life, but you could have abundant life, Jesus must stand there in heaven and say, boy, they are shortchanging themselves. They are robbing themselves of all that I came to give them. And they are missing the best for their life. And so if you're here today and you're in bitterness, then you need to begin to deal with that issue. And as I close the day, let me give you a couple things that you can do in order to deal with the box of bitterness that you're in. How do you deal with the box of bitterness that you're in? A couple things. First of all, you got to be on the lookout for bitterness springing up in you. As I said earlier, the writer Hebrews said that you need to be like a scanner. You ever see those scanners just going back and forth? You need to be like a scanner, constantly scanning your life for that seed or that root of bitterness that has been deposited. You know, all those things that I gave you earlier about seeds or roots of bitterness, you need to be on the lookout. Secondly, you need to forgive those who embittered you. You know, the person that has caused you to be bitter, you need to forgive them. Once again, I heard somebody say this, that the hornet of memory may fly again, but the sting of bitterness can be removed. I like that. The hornet of memory may fly again, but the sting of bitterness can be removed. That you need to find within yourself to forgive that individual. What is forgiveness? Again, forgiveness is opening the cage that you have them locked in and letting them out and say, I let you out. I no longer hold this resentment and this anger and this hostility towards you. Man, you know, life is short. And, you know, I tell you what, life is just too short for me to just have anger and hostility in my heart. Man, I want to enjoy life. I don't know about you, Sam. I really don't know about you. But Jesus said he came to give me abundant life. And I want every ounce of abundant life that Jesus has given me. And it's just too short for me to sit in that box, For me to build this box around me and to pull this door up and then look out this little peephole for the rest of my life. Life is just too short. Man, enjoy your life. Enjoy your life. Don't allow bitterness to box you in. You know, one of the things that I realize is that, you know, if you are bitter with somebody, as I said earlier, what has happened is your world has just shrunk. Why? Because now there's places that you don't want to go. If you know that person is going to be there, you know, you don't want to go. And if you do go, you'll greet everybody. But you know what? You know where they're at. Oh, right? You know where they're at. You checked them, right? You checked them. And you keep them at that arm's length. So what have you just now done? You've shrunk your world. Do acts of kindness for others who have caused you to be bitter. Paul said in Romans that when you do good to those who have done you wrong, that's like heaping coals of fire on their head. That when you do good, if I have offended you and you come and you do something good for me, first of all, I'm going to be suspicious, right? Why did you do that? And then when I see that you're genuine, the Holy Spirit is going to beat me down. He's going to beat me down when I see that you're genuine. Seek reconciliation for those who have caused you to be bitter. How can we reconcile this? You know, I don't want to be mad. You know, God lets me know I'm not supposed to be mad. I don't want to be upset. How can we reconcile? But I'm going to tell you what. I'm just going to stand right here today because I see it all the time. I see it all of the time. And saints, would to God that you hear me if you don't hear anything else I said. That people will say, I don't want to be reconciled with them. I don't want to be. Well, I don't want to be. You know what they did to me? I don't want to be reconciled. And I can tell you right then and there. Well, you know what? Let me let God tell you. Let me let God tell you in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Now watch this. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now you want God to forgive you. You want God to be reconciled to you. And God says right here, you need to be reconciled to your brother. But I see it all the time. Saints bristle up and they stiffen up. Come on, man. You need to loosen up now. You need to loosen up. You need to go take a hot shower and loosen up a little bit. All right, you're too brittle. You're too stiff up in here. You know, I didn't say to be chums and pals and buddy-buddy. I didn't say that. Maybe y'all was like that before, and maybe that relationship can never be again. Maybe it can never be again. But you can be reconciled, at least to know. You know, I've had people that there was an odd between us, and I reached out to reconcile, and they told me they didn't want to reconcile. And you know what I said to myself? It broke my heart. It broke my heart. And the only thing I can say, God, I tried. And I'm still open. God, I tried, and I'm still open. And if we don't take that posture as Christians, then God is going to hold us accountable for our relationship with Him. And then finally, we need to realize that bitterness is a sin. And we need to confess it and repent it. We need to confess it to God, and we need to repent it.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Burnout. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Building a Box of Bitterness, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Building a Box of Bitterness. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Building a Box of Bitterness. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Galaise and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.